that you have a celebrity here tonight. I know you mentioned her.
Yeah.
That's where it all started, right there. Lake Charles, Louisiana, 1957. Stationed in the Air Force down there. It was a Sunday afternoon, sitting on the steps of the barracks. A young man in my outfit named Don Vincent, he's about 21, was a young alcoholic. And he had been dating this young lady who was a member of the church. And she finally, you know, figured out what his problem was, sort of gave him his walking papers. I'm sitting on the front steps of the church up in the barracks, and this old 52-wheeler drives up. This young lady drives. Don gets out. He walks up the sidewalk, and I say he's walking down the halfway, you know, staggering up the sidewalk Sunday afternoon. He said, Don said, you want me to light your way? And I said, what? So he gave this one.
Joined by all the members. The Lord's Supper was observed. Collections were
taken, the needy were taken care of, the general public was favorably impressed, and the church grew. As more people were being baptized and added to the church. Now, that's how you grow a church. There are the steps for growing a church. You preach the gospel, you baptize converts, you maintain faith with the apostles' doctrine, you enjoy fellowship together, and you observe the Lord's Supper, and collections are taken up, you take care of the needy and those who have problems, and church grows. That's the first entry. But all of that took place with people meeting in catacombs, meeting secretly in somebody's house, meeting down by the river. Hard times. People were persecuted, people were slaughtered, people were nailed to crosses, people were abused and misused, and Christianity was misunderstood. Consequently, those who claimed Christ had a hard time. These same things are important today. Same thing, I just told this, I just read. Christianity in the first century was new, and it was an exciting concept. But in the years since, Christianity has become old hat. Old hat. We have lost a lot of the momentum of the first century. The first century church, as I said, was founded in the midst of turmoil and torture. And these early Christians practiced their faith and devotion to God at a great cost to their health and their wealth. Today we live in the midst of peace and prosperity, and what's happened, we've become complacent. And so it's become increasingly more difficult to arouse excitement and to get people involved in the things of the church. A lot of folks today view church attendance as just another demand upon their already overtaxed time. And their overburdened resources, I guess would be a good way to put it. Going to church in the 21st century is not a priority for a lot of people. And so, you know, if we're going to grow the church today, we're just going to have to work about twice, maybe three times as long as we've been working. We can't drop the ball. We're going to have to get serious about our attendance, our giving, and our fellowship, and our involvement with evangelism. Now, with those thoughts in mind, I came home from the service in 1959. I was in the Air Force in 1955-59. So I came back to Washington, D.C., and the first thing I did was I was a babe in Christ, but I began looking for the Church of Christ. Before I started going to church in Lake Charles, Louisiana, I never heard of the church. Non-entity to me. I had grown up among Episcopalians. All of my family were members of the Episcopal Church. And so I started, you know, looking through the Yellow Pages and asking around, and found out that there was a church in Bladensburg, Maryland, which was about 40 miles from my house, down in southern Maryland. Border Washington, D.C. you and want to know where you're from. And well, I told him, I live down in Brandywine, Maryland. They said, Brandywine, Maryland, what are you doing way over here in Bladensburg? I said, well, it's the only church I can find in the elevators. He said, no. He said, the church is closer to you than that. In fact, he said, there's one right in Minnesota Avenue in Washington, D.C. That was about 15 miles from home. So I drove over for the next Sunday down in the city, down in Minnesota Avenue, attended the Minnesota Avenue Church of Christ. Did for about 6 months. And the church building was about the size of this building. And we were overflowing. And one reason why we were overflowing is because a lot of us from Maryland across the district line were coming into the city to worship, because there weren't any churches out there where we lived. So, unbeknownst to me, several of the older men among our group had gotten together, and they just decided, we need to start a church in Prince George's County in Oxon Hill, Maine. So the next thing I know, they have gotten permission from the Board of Education to use an elementary school. And we met on Sunday morning in that elementary school for 5 years. Couldn't meet there on Sunday afternoon or Wednesday nights. Just Sunday morning. And Brother Robert Oz, who lived in Arlington, Virginia, drove across the John F. Kennedy Bridge from Arlington over to Maryland. Oxon Hill preached for us for 5 or 6 years. What do we do on Wednesday night or Sunday? One of the families in the church, the McKenzie's, Dee and Clarice McKenzie, have a lovely home not far from the elementary school where we meet. And for 5 years, about 60 of us met in their home on Wednesday night and Sunday night. We were everywhere. We had classes in the bathroom, in the bedroom, in the dining room, in the kitchen, you name it. They had a full finished basement underneath the house. We had services down there. Hard times and dedication. We were saving money and contribution for good. We were growing. And eventually they bought 10 acres of land and built a beautiful church building. Still there at Oxon Hill, Maryland. In the meantime, one Sunday morning, this big strapping fellow by the name of Hugh Tree, after I got to know him better, I called him Huge Tree because he was 6'4" and he weighed about 240 pounds. Big old man, but he was a teddy bear. Just as kind and gentle as anybody ever would be. Brother Robert Oz had invited him to speak Sunday morning. In the summertime, he was out of college. He was home in Arlington, for the summer. So he spoke that Sunday morning. And after services, we got together and we went to McDonald's somewhere and had lunch together and got to talking and got to be really good friends. And that summer, we worked together for 2 weeks at a church's Bible camp. That was over in Virginia. They called it Camp Obama, Washington, Maryland, and Virginia. And we worked there for 2 weeks, and we really got to know each other real well. And after camp, along about the 1st of July, Hugh had graduated from David Liverpool College, and he said, Don, so you need to go to David Liverpool College. I said, yeah, I've been thinking about that. I've heard that Pat Boone had attended David Liverpool College. Turns out he didn't go to college there. He went to high school. But back in the early 1960s, Pat Boone was still the rage, And I sort of idolized his singing. So I said, yeah, I'd kind of like to go down there. Never been to Nashville before. pushing the film is every time we get a ride to Nashville and Washington, D.C., because he didn't have a car, but I needed it. In fact, I had a very nice car. I had a 1959 Chevy Ballard, and it was brand new. When I decided to go to college, on the GI Bill, which was $110 a month, I was smart enough to figure out that I could afford that car for payments. So Dean McKenzie, where we had been in their home for so many years, he was the general manager of the largest Buick dealership in Washington, D.C. That's a story in itself, an amazing story. But I went to Pop, my car at Pop, I said, Pop, so I can't take this 1959 Chevy down to Nashville. I can't afford it. He said, what can we do? He said, well, call up GMAC. I hadn't had a car 6 months, and it was just coming. It looked like it came off the showroom floor. So I called GMAC up. They said, well, bring it down here. I drove it downtown, walked to D.C., and up under their basement parking area. And the guy came down, and he looked the car over. He said, tell you what. He said, we're going to take this car off your hand. We're just considering you've leased it for 6 months. So then I called up the Buick dealership, and I said, I'm down here, you know, at the GMAC, and they just took my car. I don't have no way to get home, so I'll be there and get you. Came and got me. I said, now what am I going to do? He said, well, so it just so happened I got a 52 Buick that I'm saving for $100 that had 80,000 miles. That's how you, Trig, and I got back to Nashville from Washington, D.C. This old 1952 Buick with 80,000 miles. Story is better. Had been in Nashville. Had been enrolled in Lipscomb probably a month. And you introduced me to the little lady sitting back there famous. And we started dating. And it was all downhill from there. No, we got married within see, I met her at 61, we got married at 62. I think we dated about 7 or 8 months. But at the end of my freshman year, I had a friend named Bill Carpenter, who graduated from Lipscomb, and he went up to Delphi, Indiana. Delphi was a down about the size of Senatoga. What's the population around here? 7,000. Right, that's about it. Delphi, Indiana is about 50 miles, 60 miles north of Indianapolis, and then about 15 miles east of Lafayette, where Purdue University is. Okay. Bill had gone up there after college and worked at his church. And when he got there, they didn't have a church. They had a basement. They had the foundation and a hole in the ground, and they had the basement, and they were meeting in there. And he said, you know, after 6 months or a year or so, he said, we, brothers, we need to get out of this basement and get into the church building. So the members of this congregation, there were like 60 people. Just about every adult in that building, in that congregation, took a second mortgage, either on their business or on their house. And they built a church building. On top of that foundation and basement they had. And once the building was completed, everything was, you know, ready to receive the congregation, they had a gospel meeting. Guess who was going to preach? Ira North and Marshall Teeble. And Bill made arrangements with the college for 100 of us to come up there. The week before the meeting started, and while the meeting was going on, to knock on doors and set up Bible studies. Invite people to church. And this was my first sermon got the attention of these people in this little town. They had a Union soldier statue, you know, in the middle of the town, Indiana, Virginia. And it had steps all the way around, you know, stair steps. 100 of us would get around that statue every evening at about 5 o'clock when people were getting off work. 100 students of David Livingston College, and we would sing out and tell them our hymns from our book. And many of these people had never heard anything like that. They weren't at all. People came out of their shops, came out of their apartments, over their shops. They came out in the street. They got all around us. They would just stand there.